Hey, this is Chad O'Brien from Kaiju Pop, and we are here at Tokyo Game Show 2017, and we're talking with Ben Miller of Fabraz. I should have looked at that before, but yes, Fabraz, who have made Slimeson, which is out in the West right now, but it's coming to Japan. Why don't we start with you just telling us what Slimeson is?
So it's kind of a twitchy, fast-paced precision platformer, kind of in the same vein as like M++ or Super Meat Boy, that kind of genre. The story is you play as a little slime who's just sliming around, jumping around the woods, minding his own business when he gets swallowed by a giant worm. And the game is you try to run and jump your way out of the worm and escape getting digested by stomach acid.
Yeah, I hate when I'm going through the woods and get swallowed up by worms.
We want a big focus is, you know, making it relatable. Everybody's had that kind of experience at some point in their life.
Yeah, so does that mean there's, how many levels in total are there?
So it's 100 levels. Each level is sort of four screen, single screen rooms that you sort of run through each sort of in fast-paced sequence. Usually a level, first time you go through, it might be 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you're sort of having trouble, but by the end you can get through any of them in like 20, 30 seconds often.
Yeah, I noticed, so I did a little bit of playthrough, and like you were saying, a lot of it reminded me first of Super Meat Boy, mostly because of just the slime left on the walls, especially after you die, it's still there. That was pretty interesting. But I also noticed there's a lot of different techniques you can do, dashing and phasing. And
yeah, so like a big part focus for us was trying to make it sort of accessible for people who are new to platformers who don't know quite what they're doing, but also that there is that range of like a high skill ceiling for expert speedrunners and people who are really well-versed in platformers. So there's that more for phase ability you just said, that lets you move through green stuff. That's all, the whole game is only 5 colors, so like red kills you, green is good, and you can either, it's interactive or you can morph through it. But when you do that, also time slows down, so you can be more precise with your platforming, be more careful with jumping and stuff like that. But also, like, a lot of levels have alternate routes or sort of special little tricks or exploits you can do to get through it faster.
Yeah, I'm absolutely terrible at most of these games, so I was doing that phase ability a lot, slowing down the time.
We try and ease you in. Like, I've seen people say this a lot, and they might, like, they're 5 minutes the first run, then, like, it gets down to, like, 2.5 the second time they try, and then after 4 or 5, they've already gone the trophy time.
I do also like that there's kind of a natural impetus to, like, get through quickly because the stomach acid starts coming out.
Yeah, so every screen, if you take too long, the stomach acid comes in, sort of pushing you to get through it faster.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, the collectible apples. Do those unlock anything?
Or? Yeah, so, like, you may not have seen in the demo, but there's this whole town inside the worm of like various other survivors who got swallowed, and that you can bring those apples back as currency.
Okay.
So you can use that to get different play styles that sort of give you a pro or con. That one might be you lose your ability to dash, but you get double jump. You can't move on the ground anymore, but you move much faster in the air and can get like 2 or 3 dashes at once. Mm-hmm. So lots of things that you're never just better, but then they tweak how you play. Can unlock different skins, shaders, sort of side art for the sort of side panels of the game. So just a lot of stuff for customizing how you want to play the game.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, thank you so much. Like, when is it coming out in Japan?
So we're still going through QA now, hopefully within the next month.
Okay, and we'll look forward to it. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
This is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2017, and we're looking at Necro Barista by Route 59, and we're talking with Kevin Chen, who is making the game. So why don't you give us a quick intro to what Necro Barista is?
Hi, so I'm Kevin, the director for Route 59, Necro Barista. Necro Barista is a cinematic visual novel, right? We're heavily influenced by both anime, manga, movies, but also obviously the genre of medium of visual novels. So when I decided to make Necro Barista, I wanted to make a visual novel that used the visual presentation of the game to tell the story just as much as the text did. And so the game itself, it features a fully 3D, I suppose, presentation format. The camera is very dynamic, it moves around quite frequently. And by utilizing, you know, alternating camera shots and the animation within the game, I think we're able to do some more cinematic kind of forms of presentation that, you know, other games don't have. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed, so I was playing through actually a couple of days ago, but just in interspersed between the text, like you'd get, I can't remember the director's name now. He did 300.
Yeah, slow motion. Yeah. Like the knife comes down, and it camera like goes into bullet time, and then text comes up, and then it goes up again, and then a bit more. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. I'm absolutely in love with like the artistic style. So you did all the artistic design as well.
So I'm the art director, but we also have a character designer, Nok Vu. So she does the character design of the game and a lot of the 2D art. But yeah, I think between, myself and Nok, that's where most of the art comes from.
And so when I was playing through, it's, like you said, it's a visual novel, but of course we've seen visual novels kind of growing out of just that genre, and I liked, after that certain intro scene, like, you were able to walk around and just interact with things and get new stories, yeah. And that was pretty cool. Some of them had like nothing to do with what was going on, yeah. But I thought that was cool too. Like, so tell me about like how you're trying to expand just the world.
So we realized that with visual novels, there are lots of different types of players, right? There are a lot of players who kind of like to focus on the main story. So, and while there's also a lot of players who like delving deep into lore. And specifically, everybody has their kind of favorite characters or their favorite stories that they want to delve down. And that's why a lot of visual novels have the whole route system, where like, oh, you pick your favorite character and you go down their route. In NecroBrewStar, we want to do a similar thing, but rather than having specific routes that, you know, end up quite linear, the story takes place over a bunch, maybe 40 to 50 little scenes, right? Think of them as vignettes. Now, there are major overarching kind of plots to follow, but the idea is that throughout the game, you will find several items and little keywords that you can collect as tags. Now, tags are content filtering systems that the game utilizes to spit you out new scenes relevant to your interests. So you might collect a tag that's like, oh, Ashley, I really like this character called Ashley, right? And the basement, I want to know what's going on down there. And then at the end of the scene, the game will give you three new scenes that are to do with the basement or Ashley or a combination thereof.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I was actually noticing that when I was playing, like, the highlighted words.
The orange words.
Yeah,
yes,
so those
yes.
are the tags.
Those are the tags.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got, like, knife and basement. Mm-hmm. And I did, like, the little flavor text as well. That was really nice.
Thank you.
What systems is this coming out for?
So we're currently aiming for a mid-2018 launch on Steam for PC, Mac, as well as the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, right. Yes, I did see it on the Nindies Direct, so well done to get on that.
Thank you.
And last, of course, I have to ask, we just had like a very long conversation about Monster Hunter. What's the influence of Monster Hunter on this game?
Oh, of Monster Hunter specifically?
What weapons are involved?
All right. Well, you see, there are... Well, honestly speaking, in terms of influences, I am heavily, like a massive consumer of Japanese pop culture, media. I'll say regarding the art, that's probably our biggest influence, right? We do feature a fairly distinct, I suppose, anime-like style, right, with the characters in the game. Some people have likened it to Persona, which is extremely flattering. Other games I really liked are Etrian Odyssey, which is a niche-ish dungeon crawler series, and Catherine, also by Atlus.
Wow. Yeah, I'm waiting for the next Catherine game. Like,
me too. Like, me too. Did you know that there was actually like a competitive Catherine scene?
I didn't.
Look it up. It's amazing. Like, it's like multiplayer Catherine battle-offs. It's crazy. Yeah, it's really cool.
And so now you're going to have multiplayer barista.
Yeah, barista. All yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. I look forward to
Thank
the game.
Thank you, Chad. Yep. Thank you very much.
Have a good show. Yeah. This is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2017, and we're looking at She Remembered Caterpillars by a German name.
Jumpsuit Entertainment.
Haftungsbeschränkt. There we go.
That's basically the equivalent of LLC in America.
Ah, I see. Okay, yeah. Okay. So Jumpsuit Entertainment. I'm talking with Brian Quick of Ispirit Games, and they are the publishers of this game. So why don't you give me a quick rundown of what the what's going on here?
Sure. So She Remembered Caterpillars is a color-based puzzle game where you control a bunch of little critters called gammies. They come in a bunch of different colors, red, blue, yellow, and they actually have the ability to combine and split into from primary colors into secondary colors. So like red plus blue equals purple, yellow plus blue equals green, and so on. And all these colors matter because you're using these gammies to cross and you're trying to bring them across environments where there are obstacles linked to their colors. For example, like you might see a red bridge, and only a red gammy can cross a red bridge. But or you might see a wall of tentacles in red that blocks the red gammy from going through. So there are 40 levels in the game, all designed around variations of these environmental obstacles. And the premise of the game is that on the outset it looks like a set of really pretty what we like to call fungi punk environments, and they all look kind of mystical and, you know, surreal. And what's actually happening is that the gammies you control are actually representations of a sort of neuroscience.
Oh, I see.
Where there's a scientist in the background controlling these characters, or rather you are the person controlling these gammies. And the scientist character that you play is trying to rescue memories from her father's brain. Like, she's sort of basically doing neurosurgery on him, trying to recover memories about a past that they share. Like, she's basically, her dad is dying, and she's trying to plumb his memories to piece things together.
Yeah, I noticed between the stages there seems to be like this little memory flash.
Yeah.
Is there anything like within the stage where you can get items?
No, they're all, each puzzle is self-contained. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like as you see the levels progress, there are different themes, so to speak. Like the first like five levels are set in a dark swampish kind of environment, and you second set moves into something a bit more skyborne. The third set goes into a palace-like environment, and it keeps varying as you go along, and it sort of represents a deeper dive into the consciousness of the brain.
Yeah, that very first area, kind of like you were saying, it's a very fantastic / punkish kind of feel.
Yeah.
It honestly reminded me of the Nausicaa movie, Ghibli Nausicaa movie.
Yeah, Nausicaa. Yeah.
In the underground area.
Yeah.
It looks very pretty, but now like you can see like city lights, and that looks pretty interesting too. So
there's a point where they go to what looks like outer space. So open your mind into to the interpretations.
Fungi punk in space.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, become a neuroscientist without getting the degree. That works for me. Thanks a lot.
And thank you so much, Adam. Yeah,
have a good show.
You too.
This is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2017, and I'm talking to Andre Pong of Gattai Games, who have an awesome logo.
Thank you.
And we're looking at Stifled.
Yep.
So Stifled is, why don't you go ahead and tell us really quickly what Stifled is.
Right, so Stifled is a VR and mic-enabled stealth horror game where sound is the only way you see. So players, by speaking into the microphone and using the character's footsteps and other items in the environment, can create sound pulses to let them see the environment in wide outlines, kind of like echolocation.
Mm. Right?
So creating these sounds helps them escape. However, there are creatures lurking in the dark that chase them through sound. So you have to find that balance to survive.
Yeah, the very like stark black and white contrast, it reminded me a lot of, I said to you,
yeah.
The Unfinished Swan, there's a level like that. Also, there was a recent game, Perception, which I like this one more because it seems like it's going to focus more on the horror, whereas Perception was like an adventure game. But
So we kind of know the devs, we know each other at Perception, and by playing each other's game, we kind of feel like Perception is a little bit more focused on narrative. That's their strength. ours will be working leaning more on the gameplay mechanic of being chased around.
Yeah.
So it'll be different for different preferences for different kind of players.
Yeah, the it was kind of scary hearing a baby down in the sewers. And I like that both both the enemies and yourself like have like competing colors.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. In the game, I noticed like it's a pretty short look, but I picked up a rock. But are there going to be items like keys that you have to find to get out of areas?
So we're limiting most of the interaction to items that play on our main mechanic sounds. So we're playing a lot with distractions, staying hidden, and not being revealed inadvertently. Like you may have encountered like rivers and puddles. So as you're navigating, you've got to worry not to step into one that creates a large sound that reveals itself.
Okay.
So that's our main focus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's really cool. So this is coming out to the PlayStation VR.
Yes.
And I assume also like Steam Vive and...
Right now, it's coming out to PlayStation 4 and VR. It's a VR enabled, you can play with and without.
Okay.
And only the PlayStation 4 for now.
Oh, okay. So it's exclusive. Okay. Like, when can we look forward to this?
We're currently in talks with our publisher. Sony's publishing it, so it's not confirmed yet. But we're hoping this year or soon.
Okay. Yeah, it looks really interesting, so I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Chad O'Brien from Kaiju Pop, and we're at Tokyo Game Show 2017. We're looking at Guts Department Aegis Defenders. So why don't you go ahead and give me a quick introduction and tell us about the game.
Sure. My name is Bryce Koh. I'm the game director and the only artist on this game. Aegis Defenders is a combination of a tower defense game and a platformer. But what makes it cool is that you can switch between multiple characters at any time and defend a base from multiple directions.
Yeah, very cool. So that's the whole thing in a nutshell. But there is so much more to like just the... I told you yesterday when we talked about this. This was my very first Kickstarter game project fun thing ever.
Thanks.
And I fell in love with the art style. So obviously... I'm sure you hear this a lot, but it reminds me a lot of Ghibli. And so as the artist, why don't you talk about the influence here?
Sure. Really heavily inspired by old school Final Fantasy games on the Super Nintendo, as well as Studio Ghibli films. It's funny because Bart, the main character, was based off of Cid from Final Fantasy VI, but he also happens to look a lot like Nausicaa, the old man in that anime manga. And then I actually color swapped him to be blue, and that happens to look a lot like Nausicaa.
Voiced by Patrick Stewart.
Yes. No.
In your head.
Fortunately. Yeah, that's a dream. The dream would be.
The blue cape is very, very reminiscent of that. She also carries a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Has an amazing grandpa, right?
Yes, that's her grandpa. Yep. Yeah,
and he's got a hammer that I love to swing at everything, as I'm sure you remember me doing yesterday. But tell me about like the phases in the game. So,
sure.
There's like several different kinds of things you can do.
That's right. Yeah. So the game is broken down into two major phases. First half of every level is exploration. So it's kind of like a Zelda-style, like, puzzles that are preparing you for the boss fight at the end. Like, just the mechanics that will appear there later. And then that second phase is the tower defense phase. And that's where, after searching through this area, you're going to find, like, a relic or a person or, maybe it's a moving ship that you have to defend. And so that's where the tower defense comes in, and you need to switch between multiple characters to defend it. Multiple ways.
So why are we defending these relics in the first place?
Sure. So the namesake of the game, Aegis, is an ancient relic that is like a powerful weapon that our heroes find at the very beginning of the game. And the whole goal of the game is that they need to bring it back to life so that they can defend themselves from this evil empire that's been encroaching on their homeland. Yeah.
Very cool. So in the defense phases, what all can you do? So I saw we can build things, but can everybody build? Everybody builds different kinds of things. Like, what are we doing? And then there's also the color aspect.
That's right. So. Yes. So, you know, a lot of the gameplay will feel similar to traditional 2D platformers. A lot of the weapons are inspired by things that you'll find in other Metroidvania type games. And so our game has four characters, and they each have two unique types of weapons. So they each have their own kind of two different play styles for each weapon. And they all have their own unique item that they can build. So for instance, our hunter, Clue, can build a bomb, and our engineer, Bart, can build a block. But any one of those items can be fused with any other item from any other character. So if Bart fuses two blocks together, he makes a turret. And if Clue fuses two bombs together, she makes this like permanent spike trap. And if they fuse two things together, like one bomb and one defense block, then you'll get a tri-shot turret. So it's like the fusions in between them, you know, require more work, right? Because you gotta like sync them up and get them to work together. But they usually have more power or some unique feature that makes them interesting. As far as color in our game goes, you know, we used to have this complicated like, oh, different like enemy types have different like strengths and like, you know, you have to hit them with a certain type of weapon. What we ended up doing to make this more streamlined and easy to understand is each of our four characters has one color, and that color is the type of enemy that they're good against. So Clue is really good against any blue enemy, Bart's really good against any yellow enemy, so on and so forth. And the things that they build, they also use those same colors. And what makes that cool is when you fuse two different colors together, it's good against both of those things. So there's some strategy as into how you lay out your defenses.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So when it's blue, Clue will do. When it's yellow, Bart is smart. Come on, you got to give me some more here.
Oh my God.
I hope nobody's orange because then you can't rhyme. But yeah, that all sounds really, really cool. So thanks so much for talking with us, and we hope you have a great show.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Yeah.